Let's open our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. When I think of the two main Christmas accounts, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, I think about Matthew as focusing on Joseph and things about him, and then Luke focusing on Mary and things about her. In Matthew chapter 2, we have the account of the wise men and their visit. And I was thinking about our theme this year as we near the end of the year, just one more Sunday in the year, and we've been talking all year about seeking the Lord and seeking His face. Not every Sunday, but time to time we've been led of the Lord to discuss that. And it's been a really positive theme, I think, you know, that just desire to seek the Lord. However, I think you understand with me that the Bible is not all positive. Sometimes people talk about, you know, well, I just want a preacher who's going to be positive. Well, if you have a preacher who's going to preach the Word of God, it's going to be positive sometimes, and it's going to be negative sometimes, because the Bible is both positive and negative. I really think that's part of what's meant when Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It's got that negative side and then that positive side. And it cuts both directions, you know. We can get convicted about from a positive sermon. We can get convicted from a negative message, you know. It's that double-edged sword. And certainly God's Word is powerful. And so I want to talk to you tonight about wrong reasons to seek the Lord, especially at Christmas. Wrong reasons to seek the Lord at Christmas. And let's read a little bit in Matthew chapter 2. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it was written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem." Notice he sent them to Bethlehem. Some people think, you know, the wise men went to Nazareth, you know, because later on it says young child instead of baby. And so they think the wise men aren't supposed to be at the manger. And I don't know, I kind of think they went to Bethlehem. Anyway, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Okay, we know that Herod is going to have the babies in Bethlehem killed. So God says to Joseph, get out of Bethlehem. Okay, let's get out of there and spend some time in Egypt. So verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that you would help us to see from this passage some cautions for us, some wrong reasons for doing the right thing. Lord, it certainly is right for us to seek you and to seek your face and especially seek you at Christmas. But I pray that we would be cautioned by these wrong motives that are evident in this passage. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, wrong reasons to seek the Lord at Christmas. First of all, for selfish blessing. For selfish blessing. If you meditate on this passage a little bit, there's some things that are really quite amazing. Look at verse 3 again. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Well, that part makes sense to me. Herod's troubled. He's not happy there's this other king when he's supposed to be the king. All right, so I understand Herod was troubled. But then it says this, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, wait a minute. What happened to joy to the world? The Lord has come, you know? I mean, why were they troubled? They were looking for the Messiah. The Jews longed for the Messiah. They were told by the prophets that the Messiah would come. And maybe they were jealous. Maybe the Jews thought, well, how come these wise men from the east knew about it and we didn't? You know, what's the story there? I mean, we're God's chosen people. Maybe they were troubled because the wise men knew before they did. Maybe they were troubled because of prophecy. They looked at prophecy. Isaiah had foretold his coming. He said, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So Isaiah foretold his coming. Micah foretold it. Matter of fact, they refer to Micah. The scribes and chief priests refer to Micah, where Micah says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So in other words, the eternal king was going to come to Bethlehem and be there. So they had that prophecy, and they had other prophets as well. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So the Jews sought for the blessing of his coming, but they wanted it for themselves. They wanted the blessings of Jesus coming, the Messiah coming. They wanted it for themselves because he was going to come. He was going to free them from the Roman tyranny. He was going to provide that freedom and set up the kingdom and rule and reign with a rod of iron and all these prophecies that they thought were part of his first coming. They wanted him to come for their own selfish reasons. And when the wise men of the East seemed to know about it before they did, they weren't happy. We sing that song sometimes that to me reflects the Jewish attitude, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, which mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel, okay? Ransom captive Israel. They wanted him to come and ransom them, to get them bought back out of Rome and be relieved of that political oppression that they faced. And so that's why they longed for the Messiah to come. And then the prophets are silent for 400 years. And you think when they heard this news, they would get excited about it. Well, this is it. This is the time. But instead, they were not excited. They didn't care about it. They thought it was just blessings for themselves. If we're not careful, Christmas can become a time of self-seeking for us as well. You know, gift-getting becomes more important than gift-giving. And we start focusing on self. Our time off becomes more of our focus than worshiping the Lord. Time with family causes us to neglect the one whose birthday it really is. And if we're not careful, we can be seeking the Lord at Christmas, but we're excited about it for selfish blessings and not for spiritual reasons. So that's not the right reason to seek the Lord. Oh yeah, the Jews wanted him to come. They were seeking for the Lord, but it was for selfish reasons. Number two, the second wrong reason to seek the Lord is for selfish advancement. Look down at verse number 4. When he, Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And in this story, we see the selfishness of Herod. He wanted to be the only one that's going to rule over the Jews. Nobody else is going to rule over Jews. If you're talking about a king of the Jews that was just born, well, we'll take care of him, okay? Because Herod is seeking the Lord. He wants to find Jesus. He's seeking him, but he's seeking him for the wrong reason. He's seeking him for selfish advancement and selfishness and what he wants to be done. He would use these wise men to get information in order to advance himself. And some people, if we're not careful, we can, even as believers, we can seek the Lord and want to be close to Him, but almost want it for our own self-advancement. You know, so people in the church will respect me and my family, and I will be able to be a leader in the church, or a deacon, or maybe move up to be the pastor or assistant pastor. And we have all these self-advancement ideas. Now, I agree there's no higher calling than pastor, but there's also no more humbling calling than pastor. And we don't seek things to advance ourselves. But Herod, yeah, he was looking for Jesus, but he had the wrong motives. It was to advance himself. None of us are exempt from this temptation. Somebody might say, well, you know, I'll accept Jesus as my Savior. Sure, I'd rather go to heaven than hell. Don was just talking to me about that here before the service. Somebody that gave a testimony one time and said, I'm a logical guy. I don't want to go to hell, so sure, I'll take Jesus. But he never even was convicted of his sin. Well, wait a second. That's seeking the Savior, but for a wrong reason, okay, for selfish advancement. Even as Christians, we could say, you know, I'll live for the Lord so that my life will be better. So God will, you know, bless me, and I'll be able to advance. And we look at that selfish advancement. You see in here, of course, the pride of Herod. His selfishness became so strong that he would stop at nothing to get his way. And that can happen even among Christians. Sometimes in churches, people can get this way. They'll get something in their head about a church, and they'll stop at nothing to get their way. There'll be even unscrupulous actions will be inbounds for them because they say, I got to get my way. All of Herod's selfishness, however, amounted to nothing, because after he did his wrathful deed and killed all those precious babies in Bethlehem, in verse 16 through 18, the very next verse, verse 19 says, but when Herod was dead. But when Herod was dead. Okay, we don't read anything else about Herod. You know, here he did this dastardly deed, and then he was dead. Now, there was probably some time in there, but it doesn't matter. The time was worthless. And folks, if we live for selfish advancement, then our life will basically be worthless. And we'll get to the end and regret it. Life is too short to live it to advance ourselves. Let's not seek the Lord for the good that we can get out of it, for the advancement we can get. Oh man, there's all kinds of blessings when you live for the Lord. Sure. I mean, your life goes better. Your family is blessed. And all these wonderful things take place, but folks, that can't be our reason. Our reason for seeking the Lord cannot be for selfish advancement. Not for selfish blessing, not for selfish advancement. And then verse 5, not for selfish duty. In verse 5, we have some other people here. The chief priests and scribes mentioned in verse 4. Verse 5, they said unto Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Okay, here are these chief priests and scribes. And they had studied the scriptures. But I believe that they had studied them out of obligation. I think I can show you why I say that from the story. Oh, they studied the scriptures, but it was kind of just because that was the thing that they were supposed to do. That was the thing they had to do. And Herod inquired of them. The Bible doesn't say. Perhaps they had to look it up. More than likely, though, I think they probably knew it because they had grown up studying the scriptures. And it seems like they almost give Micah 5:2 from memory, because they don't necessarily quote it exactly the way we seem to have it in the Old Testament. Of course, sometimes there's changes from old to new because you're going from Hebrew to Greek and so forth. But this quotation, when they tell Herod about where it's written in the prophet, they don't seem to quote it word for word. So I'm not sure. They probably just kind of knew it, and they probably just told Herod, this is the gist of what the prophets have said, and it's going to be in Bethlehem. But did they have a heart for the Lord? I'm going to say that they did not, and here's why. If you were one of those leaders in Israel, and you were longing for the Messiah to come, and your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather told you about how he was coming, and they showed you the prophecies of the Scripture, and you studied those prophecies, and you know that no prophets have been on the scene for 400 years since Malachi, and you're longing for Jesus to come. Boy, if you ever got word from anywhere that he may be coming, you'd be on that. You'd be tracking that down. And so here these wise men come in and talk to Herod, and Herod said, hey, these guys just came and said, some king of the Jews is going to be born, and they saw his star in the when they were in the east, and hey, where's this child supposed to be born? If you were one of those scribes, if you were one of those chief priests, you'd be like, are you serious? The star? Hey guys, maybe that's that star that Balaam prophesied about. Maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time. It says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Where are those wise men, Herod? I'm going to call him back in just a minute. Oh, okay. And then, man, I'd be watching for those guys. I'd be following them, or maybe I wouldn't even wait for them. Maybe I'd take off to Bethlehem first. I'd say, I'm not waiting for those wise men. I want to go find out what's going on here. This is amazing. And they could have gone outside, and they could have looked up and said, well, they weren't astronomers like the wise men, but they could have said, hey, I don't remember that star. Look at that thing. Man, that's bright. I wouldn't have noticed that before. That must be it. That prophecy, a star shall rise out of Jacob. This is it. And they could have gotten excited. But you know what? They weren't excited because they were seeking the Lord out of duty and out of obligation. But folks, at Christmas time, at any time, we as believers have to beware seeking the Lord only out of duty and obligation. Now folks, it's not wrong to do the right thing out of duty. All right, maybe some of you came to church tonight because you said, man, I'm kind of tired, don't really feel like it, but it's the right thing to do, so I'm going to go because it's right. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you, you got to move up to another level. It's so important that that's not our only motive. Sometimes we're motivated by fear, and that's legitimate. The Bible tells us about things we ought to fear. It says that some we can save with fear, pulling them out of the flames. So God motivates us with fear. He also motivates us with reward. And that's legitimate. The Bible talks about crowns we'll have in heaven. And it's fine to be motivated by reward. Then there's that higher motivation of duty. And we ought to be motivated by duty. But I'm telling you, the highest motivation is the motivation of love. The love of Christ constrains us. His love for us and our love for Him. That ought to motivate us to seek Him and to seek His face. And there might be some times in our life here and there where our love is waning. Maybe we're tired. Maybe we've been hurt emotionally or in some way. And so for a time, maybe we just have to do right out of duty. But that's a dangerous place to stay. We've got to say, Lord, move me back up to the motivation of love. and let me do what I do out of love. Because here, these guys, when they served out of duty, just because that's what we do, we're the chief priests, we study the scriptures, and they weren't excited about it at all, you know, pretty soon it gets old. And your Christian life, if you're just doing it out of duty, you know, I'm reading my Bible every day, Pastor, but it's out of duty. Oh, it's Christmas time, so yeah, before we open the presents, we got to read the Christmas story. All right, here we go. You know, and it's all out of duty and not out of love. That gets old really quick. We shouldn't be serving the Lord and seeking Him only out of selfish duty. Contrast these chief priests with the shepherds when they got the news. Luke 2:15 says, when came to pass, when the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. They said, let's go now to Bethlehem. These chief priests and scribes, yeah, it's going to be Bethlehem. They didn't say, let us go now. They weren't seeking Him with enthusiasm because they were doing it only out of duty. So tonight, as we consider this thought from the Christmas account, let's check our motives. Let's ask the Lord, why are we seeking Him? We've been talking about seeking the Lord throughout 2014, and I think we ought to once again check our motives and say, Lord, why are we seeking You? Is it for selfish blessing? You know, Lord, we really want You to come through and help this church to grow and thrive. All right, but why? So we could be a part of an exciting, growing, large church, or so God can be honored, so He could be glorified. Because we love Him, and He deserves to be honored and lifted up in this community. We've got to check our motives. Are we seeking Him for selfish advancement? You know, so I can be somebody in the church. Now, I'm going to be faithful in my attendance, so I can be somebody, so pastor will think good of me. No, let's do it for our love for the Lord. Love for the Lord. And then are we seeking the Lord out of mere duty? You know, it does make us feel good to do our duty. But it's got to rise above that. We've got to say, Lord, don't let me be stuck on that motive of duty, because that will get old after a while. Give me that love for You that builds that burning excitement for the things of God, where here in 2015, I'm excited about reading my Bible again. Oh, there might be some days where you just do it out of duty. That's fine. But don't let every day be like that. Let it be love for the Lord, meditating on what He's done for us and His great love wherewith He loved us. Do we have that heart that loves Him supremely? That's the way we ought to seek the Lord. Let's pray. Father, You've included some of these details in the Christmas account, I believe, to help us realize that not all of us who seek the Lord always do it with the right motive. Certainly Herod's motive was obviously wrong and wicked. And yet, Lord, we sometimes can be rising almost to that same level of wickedness when we seek You for self-advancement. We could be like the Jews who were troubled at Your coming because they were seeking You for selfish blessing, for the good things that could come to their lives instead of for Your cause and for the advancement of God and Jesus Christ across the world. Lord, I pray that we'll not seek You for selfish blessing. And then, Lord, that You would keep us from doing it simply out of obligation. That instead, Lord, we'll serve You out of love and live for You out of love. Certainly You loved us. You gave Your all for us. You provided salvation to everyone who will believe and receive You. And Lord, we ought to love You for that in a supreme way. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to thank you for listening today. If the Lord has especially touched your heart, or you've made a decision for Christ, or perhaps you just have some questions you'd like to ask, please go to our website, www.bethelbc.info, and under the main menu, click on the word contact. Again, the website is www.bethelbc.info.